This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. We are talking about brain tumors today. Now, while brain tumors are actually exceedingly rare, just the thought of it is very frightening to all of us because a tumor in the brain could affect different parts and functions of the body temporarily or permanently. And it's something that we would want to know how to identify and know what the treatment options are. So we have in the studio with us today, Dr. Xia Xiaofeng, consultant neurosurgeon from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, to find out more about brain tumors and the warning signs we should know, you know, to look out for. Good afternoon, Dr. Xia. How are you today?
Yeah, very good. Good afternoon, everybody.
Yes. So if you have any questions for Dr. Xia, you can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Xia, perhaps we can start with understanding how you define a brain tumor. What exactly is it?
And to start off with, actually, with a red line, brain tumor actually is quite rare, exceedingly rare. Actually, it's just only making up less than 2% of a tumor that all of us, the population, only two. It's quite rare. The other common cancer, say for example, lung cancer, thyroid cancer, breast cancer, colorectal, is still made up of a majority of the cancerous group of patients. Whereas for the brain tumor, brain cancer is exceedingly rare. Now, to be honest, cancer in general can be divided into the benign and malignant. Okay, that means the good one and the bad one. But in the brain tumor-wise, depending on the location, the tumor that happened, sometimes even the benign also, we need to give the treatment across to the patients.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to quickly pick up on that.
Sure.
So benign or malignant, malignant being the cancerous type of cancer.
Yeah.
That's not to say that a benign brain tumor is not of concern. We do need to pay attention to it because it depends on the location, as you said.
Yeah.
Could you give us an example of how a benign brain tumor could have, a serious impact depending on a certain location that it's in? Could you give us an example?
Sure. Say, for example, if a benign tumor that different parts of the brain govern different parts of the body functions. Sometimes, like for example, for the frontal lobe, the front part of the brain, so they govern our executive functions, memory, our decision making. Sometimes they also govern, parietal lobe also govern our speech center. If the tumor that just happened that just near to this vicinity area, they might give rise to the symptoms that patient have a difficulty in speech. And sometimes they appear to be confused. Sometimes they won't be able to lose their vision. Say for example, if they happen in occipital lobes, okay? Different part of location give rise to different symptoms. Of course, patient will normally actually be presented with something. They need to get a medical treatment, get checked up by the doctor, then only with the help of history, medical examination, plus imagings, this will make up what the diagnosis for patient.
Yeah. Okay. And what about malignant tumors then? What are the dangers with a malignant brain tumor?
Okay, same things here. Before I go into this, actually, I would like to give an audience about something. Now, I would say primary tumor for the brain tumor is quite rare. Primary tumor means the tumor that arising from the brain itself is exceedingly rare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. But whereas we do commonly get a lot of secondary tumor. Now, secondary tumor basically is a tumor that arising from different parts of the body that spread over to the brain. Say, for example, colon cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, or in overseas, malignant melanoma cancer can spread to the brain, or sometimes renal cancer. These are all, this is a secondary tumor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We see more often secondary tumor rather than the brain tumor, primary brain tumor itself.
Okay
right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is how we divide. Now, again, the principle is quite similar. Depending on the location, the tumor that occur, and that they give rise to different symptoms. very often patient might present with a headache and come to you, unsettled headaches, new headache in the elderly population. All this one we need to get the medical advices and treatment.
Yeah. When it comes to the different types of brain tumors, from what I read, there are also a lot of these names like glioma,
yes,
astrocytoma. Sure. They're all very long, complicated names.
Yeah.
We don't need to go into them. But
how
do you categorize those different types of tumors? And what difference does it make to the patient?
Sure, yeah. All this terminology, like big jargon words, actually is basically it's help doctor how to differentiate the behavior of the tumor and how aggressively we are going to treat the tumor. Say, for example, if a tumor arising, now, just a bit of anatomy. Now, our brain is actually wrapped up by the very substantive is a layer called dura. Okay, right, yeah,
okay.
Dura.
Yeah, that's layer. The layer covering the brain?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That they give a protection. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this layer also can give rise to some of the tumor, like, say, for example, meninges and meningioma.
Mm-hmm.
And for this instance, the tumor could be benign. So what happens is when the tumor gets grower over a period of time, they will compress on the surrounding brain, then give rise to symptoms. Now, when the images, clinical symptoms matches and confirm, we need to excise it.
Excise meaning to remove it.
Okay, to make the patient cure from the symptoms. Okay, this type of patient have a better prognosis because it's benign in nature. Okay, once you excise it, then you get cure for it.
Okay,
okay?
Right.
Now again, if the tumor is arising from the brain parenchyma, that means the body for the brain itself.
So just to clarify, it's not the layer covering.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. You go further deeper, okay? Now, they have a different cell type in our brain, okay? There could be glial cell, okay? There could be ependymal cell, which is the lining of the ependymal layer, where the full... Now, ependymal layer basically try to stop this ventricle lining. Inside our brain, there's a hollow space. They fill up with water. Now, all this water, this compartment is filled up with ependymal cell. And another thing is oligodendrocyte. All this could give rise to all the tumor as well. Depending on which cell type actually they grow out from there actually we can differentiate which type of the tumor they are going to grow into. From there, because different cell type have a different prognosis, long-term prognosis,
right,
and different treatment response in the future.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So how then do you determine which type of tumor it is when you see a patient?
All right, yeah. Of course, being a doctor, when a patient first comes to see you, they normally present with some subtle symptoms, say, for example, headaches, okay? With a new headache happen in the elderly patients, okay? Or sometimes the headache is unresolved with the medications, or the headache like awakening early in the morning, okay? This stuff is prompted the warrant for further investigation. And sometimes they presented with some neurological deficit of one side of the body. All right. All this actually you need to fix with a further treatment. After we take a proper history and full physical examination, the reflexes, the strength of upper limb, lower limb, the way how they walk, the stance, the gait, the balancing, and all this actually will tell tales to give some clue to the medical personnel as to which part of brain they get involved. Right, okay. And then final step, we subject the patient for the imaging studies. Imaging study can be divided into two, sometimes a CT scan or MRI. Each of the modality have their own pros and cons in order for to get a proper diagnosis. From there, only we get advice, get the patient to sit down with us and have a family conference. Sometimes we need to talk to in detail as if which direction we have to go forward from here.
Okay. So with other types of tumors, let's say a breast tumor, you would do biopsies. Would a biopsy be necessary in the case of diagnosing a brain tumor?
Well, as I mentioned to you, Xiaoyik, different cell type of the tumor treat differently. Children have a children cell type, okay? Say, for example, medulloblastoma. In order for us to get further treatment, we must know the cell type and which type. Basically, in layman, basically is what type of tumor the patient has. Now, in order for to achieve that, yes, we need to have some form of biopsy. biopsy can be total biopsy if the tumor is in a feasible location that we that make a surgeon easily to remove the whole thing. Of course, we really want to achieve the whole thing in one sitting, okay? Remove in total, okay, get a cure if possible. If very often, primary brain tumor, they won't be able to have a clear distinct between the normal brain and the tumor interface. Sometimes, like deep-seated tumor, we might actually needing to get a tissue biopsy first and see which type of how aggressive they are before we actually sit down with the patient to see whether we want to go further for the surgical intervention, total debulking take as much possible, or want to do some alternative therapy like radiosurgery or form of chemotherapy to shrink the tumor down. Okay. So there's a lot of, it's a personalized, tailored treatment for the patient. Each individual difference.
Yeah. Okay, we will go more into looking at all those different options as well and where the role of surgery comes in.
Sure.
How do you decide which patient is suitable for brain surgery? We'll go more into that later, but we do have a question from Chia on WhatsApp. Are cystic tumors malignant?
Well, it depends. Cystic, very often, now, with advances in some medical imaging, very often, a lot of my patients actually go for the medical checkup. Some all the medical checkup include part of the brain as the imaging. Okay, very often they picked up some of the cystic lesion without any symptoms at all. All these symptoms, yes, we want to make sure all these cystic lesion. We normally when we do a scan we will actually order the special scan what we call with a contrast to see this cystic actually enhance. Some cystic do enhance, then we need to pay special attention, make sure this is not something sinister that they grow in future that affect the patient. Very often, yes, I agree with readers that with Achia, a lot of cystic lesion actually been picked up asymptomatically, accident what we call incidentally, warrant only. No intervention, we just only need a couple of scans, make sure they doesn't grow, okay? Without symptoms, we are happy to treat conservatively. That's me expectantly without any operations.
What exactly is a cystic tumor? The term cystic, what does that mean?
It's a tumor. They lie with a benign layer of all the cell, but filled up with water. Small cystic lesion.
Like a cyst.
Exactly.
Mm.
We can leave it alone. But the big cysts, they keep growing, sometimes give a pressure to the surrounding brain, then we need to do something about it.
So would you say that there's value in going for these medical checkups, these screening packages that may pick up a lot of things incidentally, but without any context to it?
Sure. As I mentioned to you, a lot of the package come with a brain scan. Okay. Sometimes they do pick up something, they do refer across to us, but we just advise the patient, well, nothing worry about this stage. We are happy to follow up in 1 year scan, yearly scan. If then nothing changes over a period of time, off you go, off your home, you don't have to follow up anymore.
Okay. All right. I'm speaking to Dr. Xia Xiaofeng, consultant neurosurgeon from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, to understand more about the different types of brain tumors. When we come back, I'd like to go more into... Dr. Xia has already listed out some of the signs and symptoms that may indicate the need for further investigation. But I'd like to find out more about that because sometimes, you say things like headaches. They could be quite general symptoms of other conditions. So how do we know that this type of headache could be more sinister? When we come back, we will continue this conversation. You can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio if you have any questions. Good afternoon and welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. In the studio with me today, Dr. Xia Xiaofeng, consultant neurosurgeon from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara. We're discussing brain tumors. And before the break, as Dr. Xia had explained, a lot of it really depends on whether they are primary brain tumors, which is very rare, or secondary brain tumors, which... which are more common, and they would have spread from other sites in the body where cancer began in the colon or the breast, for example, and they've spread to the brain. There's also, depends on which part of the brain, which type of cells are affected. And so all this is going to impact what kind of treatment, what prognosis a person will have, what kind of treatment that you will decide for them. But earlier, Dr. Siah, you had mentioned several times about something like symptoms like new headaches, awakening in the morning. Perhaps you could take us more carefully through the symptoms of that could indicate a brain tumor.
Sure.
Just in a way that we don't want to alarm people in thinking that any headache leads to a brain tumor or is a sign of brain tumor. So how do we make that distinction? What are the signs to look out for? Mm-hmm. And at what point would they warrant further investigation that you may suspect a brain tumor.
Now, headache is quite common symptoms among the populations. But isolated. Now, what I mean here, isolated headache without other symptoms is quite rare. So I do understand that people have a tension headache, migraine headaches, and sometimes pressure headache because as a result of work, overnight stressor, all this can be subdued, disappeared after resting or take about with a couple of medication, seeing neurologist. But for the brain tumor wise, which again very rare, but I would say isolated headache without other symptoms is quite rare. Now, in order for me to define further, the American actually Academy of Neurology has come up with a few criteria. If you have all these few criteria, then you further warrant further investigation. Okay, say for example, if a patient has a headache plus abnormal neurological examination. Okay, so that's why you need to see doctor to make sure you don't have any other neurological deficit of the body. If you do have, please seek treatment. Another point is, they say, if the headache that causing you awakening from the sleep, all these are quite alarming headache, okay? Now, another point is new headache in the elderly populations, okay? Older population. If you're perfectly well, before 50, 60, but all of a sudden you get a headache unresolved by medication, you better go and check it out.
So we're talking about persistent headaches.
Yes, persistent, yeah.
Perhaps.
Persistent, progressive, worsening headache. And sometimes they also say, this academy medicine also, they say atypical headache features and the patient do not fulfill the criteria of migraine. Then also you need to go further step to check out further.
Okay, and now what about other symptoms related to other brain functions? Related to vision problems, for instance, or speech problems, how would they be linked to a brain tumor?
Yeah, if a patient presented with a speech defect, unable to speak well, dysphasia, aphasia, basically it's difficult in talking, or sometimes have a visual defect, they see half, partially, okay, it's not perfect vision, all this classified into the abnormal neurological examination, okay? Mm-hmm. Patient do find something during our examination, okay, right? So, yes, brain tumor sometimes can present with not only headaches, they can also present with a seizure, okay, epilepsy, or they present with a vision loss. Sometimes they also present, because of headache, they present with early morning vomiting. Okay, yeah. So not only that, if there's a cause a lot of compression of the surrounding brain, or sometimes they cause even swelling of the surrounding brain, they can also cause a mental deterioration and confusion on the patient itself. All these type of patients, they have presented all these symptoms, you better warrant further investigation and checked up.
I mean, if it all sounds alarming enough already,
yes,
but is there a window that an optimum window where a person should immediately go and get their condition checked out? Like how we say in a stroke, it's the first something like 3 hours that's critical.
Yeah, with a window period.
Yeah, so with the symptoms linked to a brain tumor, is there a window,
Unfortunately not, okay. But very often the patient come and see, depending on the site of the location of the tumor, that's the way how they present to us. headaches. Okay, yeah, so they picked up. But again, I would say it's okay. Benign tumor, sometimes when they pick that up, it's still not too late. So we're still able to give the treatment across, and basically patient can back to the own function itself, yep, depending on the type of tumor. Okay, yeah. Yep. And also, further to add on, there's a slight different presentation between adult and the children. Okay, children presentation, basically children have a moldable, the skull is quite soft, moldable skull. Sometimes, not only that, children can present it with a big head, okay, big head, because due to obstruction, somewhere the water passage should be blocked by the tumor, they presented with a big head. All this actually is one of symptoms you need to bring your kids to further investigation to make sure they don't have any water passage problem or the tumor, underlying tumor.
I know you've said that the prognosis depends on where the tumor develops, what type of cells are involved.
Sure.
But between adults and children, what is the prognosis for children?
Mm. Well, but in general, if the primary brain tumor per se, okay, right, yeah, children, say for example, I give for a children, a lot of tumor arising from postural fossa. Postural fossa basically is a small brain. Okay, it's a posterior part of the brain.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So that tumor, like for example, medulloblastoma, tend to be more aggressive. Okay, right, yeah. So they presented early. They're easy to recur. So that's why you need to seek a treatment early to get the treatment across.
Okay, all right. We have a question on WhatsApp from Nini, whether vomiting and double vision would be among the warning signs of a brain tumor?
Well, yes, they are. Yeah, vomiting and the double vision. But mind you, all this vomiting, double vision might be part of the puzzle of the migraine as well.
That's right.
So it can be very subtle, difficult to differentiate between both of them. But I would say it's okay, try. If this vomiting and a double vision be persistent, symptoms get worsened, and try to get the treatment early. Try to get the consult one from one of the neurologists first.
Okay. Right. So in terms of treatment options, you're a neurosurgeon, mm-hmm, so I guess brain surgery we used to think that brain surgery is the mainstay, mm-hmm, when it comes to treatment for a brain tumor, that you need to remove the tumor. Mm-hmm. What exactly are the kinds of treatment options that people have, bearing in mind advances that we have today?
Okay, sure, yeah. With the medical advances nowadays, actually there are various modalities for us to treat the brain tumor. As mentioned earlier, the primary brain tumor and secondary brain tumor, the tumor that spread from the other part of the body, is all totally treat differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can I say, for example, for secondary brain tumor, which I would like to emphasize here, because this is more common than we see. Okay, it's more common than we see in the primary brain tumor. If the tumor that spread to the brain from other parts of the body, not only the primary site, say for example breast cancer, must be treated first by the primary surgeon, say for example your breast surgeon must have treated that first. The part that spread to the brain, depending how deep they are, how many they are, and whether is there any symptom that cause the patients. Okay, right. From there, now with the medical advances, not every brain tumor, secondary brain tumor, what we call metastasis that spread to the brain, needs operations.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So sometimes, okay, with a multiple in the brain, is no way neurosurgeon can go and pick them up, every one of them. Okay, right, yeah. So if that's the case, say for example, breast cancer, they spread to the brain. If they have the multiple in the brain, cause no symptoms, and furthermore, they're deep location, central part of the brain. So this patient is good for have a radiotherapy. Advanced radiotherapy, say for example, stereotactic radiosurgery, SRS.
Mm-hmm.
What we call radiosurgery, okay, to burn the lesion off.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Right, so it's using radiation,
yes,
to remove.
It's a targeted high focus radiation therapy to each of the small little things.
Right.
A lot of hospital in Malaysia has these facilities.
And that's different from radiation therapy.
Nowadays, it's slightly different. Some, in some instance where there's a severe spread, Okay, say from a lung cancer, severe spread to involve the whole part of the brain. In medical term, we call it leptomeningeal spread. Okay, mm-hmm. Involve the majority part of the brain. This sort of patient, we need to have a whole brain radiotherapy. But again, normally it's quite rare to happen. Okay, right, yeah. If that happened, then we need oncology input about this treatment. Okay, we work in the team manner.
Another question on WhatsApp and linked to the stereotactic radiosurgery that you've just brought up.
Yep.
He's asking, is this SRS the better choice compared to other treatment modalities?
Well, I'm not saying the better choice, okay, Raya, because each of the modality have their good points and the bad points. So normally, we doctor actually have to come up with a consensus, which I just give you an example for the breast cancer that spread to the brain. When there's a multiple involved in a deep location of the brain, yes, SRS will be the answer for this outpatient. If the breast cancer spread to the area, superficial area of the brain, just only solitary, only one that causes the mass effect surrounding brain, this type of patient, like bigger than 3 centimeters, this type of patient, you're better off to have a surgical removal followed by the focal radiotherapy. That will be the best for the patient. At the same time, you remove the causative agent. At the same time, you control the disease over the brain.
Mm.
Okay, right, yeah?
Mm.
So, well, each of the patients are different. Each of the patient condition are unique. So we need to sit down with a different imaging modality. So then we need to, with a multi-MDT discussion, each hospital have an MDT, multidisciplinary team discussion, not only getting involved in neurosurgeon, we also invite pathologists, radiologists, oncologists to give their input about how the best way to manage this patient. I think that's a way forward in the future.
Okay, so I was going to ask, where does the role of the neurosurgeon, like yourself, come in? And so I guess that's a decision that you make collectively with the other disciplines.
Yes, exactly. We do, occasionally we do receive a brain tumor case, okay, like refer across from some of the hospital. So eventually, we also, depending on the patient's symptoms, we need to we have a sit down together with a few other doctors with across different discipline to get a neutral view the way how we treat the lesion. Of course, there's a surgical indication or sometimes oncology indication. If the tumor is deep seated, too big, okay, sometimes we need to actually get the oncology colleagues to come and to give a hand to shrink the tumor, to give upfront radiotherapy, then before we can embark on the surgical intervention.
Mm.
There are many ways to deal with a tumor case. So eventually, we really need to sit down together with a multidisciplinary involvement.
So there is not one method, one way of doing it that will suit all patients.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
right.
You must have involved actually multidisciplinary doctors to get the opinion across.
Okay.
Yeah?
And so from what I understand as well, I mean, what the main objective, if surgery was necessary, would be to remove the tumor.
That's our main aim, to remove and achieve cure.
A cure.
Okay, right, yeah. But sometimes it's quite difficult. As I mentioned to you, the brain, especially the primary brain tumor and part of the secondary brain tumor, there's a very poor tumor brain interface, okay? Although we try our best to remove as much possible. At the same time, we try not to injure the normal brain. Okay, right, yeah?
Mm.
Otherwise, you end up with a neurologic deficit after waking up from the surgery.
So, in cases where it's not so clear and you think that surgery may actually cause harm to the other tissues,
right,
the healthy brain tissue surrounding it, what would be a better option then?
Yeah, okay. Now, this brings towards another medical advances to awake craniotomy, right? Say, for example, different, as I mentioned to you, different parts of the brain govern different parts of the function of the brain. In particular, if there's some tumor involved a speech area, we try not to injure the patients by excising the tumor, then the patient will loss of speech at the end, after the operation. There's a not be one form, okay, at the end of the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a patient with better off, like grade 2 tumor involving a speech area, is better off we just refer across to get awake craniotomy, meaning we do this surgery, while the patient is awake, and before we excise the tumorous part, we actually stimulate the part that potentially have a function down the speech area. If that's the case, then we try to preserve that function.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. This is more clearer, will be less harm to the patient, will have better functionality after waking up.
So the patient is able to respond immediately.
Exactly.
And you know that, okay, that's the area that you want to preserve to avoid when you're doing the surgery. And what other advances in brain surgery have come up in recent years that improve the outcome for patients?
Okay, now, if you really want to talk about the molecular imaging, okay, sometimes we, as I mentioned to you, yes, there's some medical advances really improve over a period of years. Hence, this improve the patient outcome and the long-term outcome. Now, not only the pathologically, so they also subclassify the tumor into different subtype by using a lot of immunohistochemistry staining. Even in many years ago, the pathology wouldn't be able to differentiate one after another, but with these molecular advances, they can even subtyping. There are so a lot of tumor they divided into the small little component. They have a different tumor, have a different tumor response to the tumor rate. So hence, we can better predict the outcome of a patient. Mm-hmm. Not only this, surgically, there's some advances as well. We are able to do inject some of the molecular dye, special dye, into the patient body about a few hours before the surgery. This will actually light up the tumor during operation. This will better enhance our visualization, better seeing the tumor in order for to achieve the better clearance for tumor. For that instance, there will be the 5-ALA in the market. It's a sort of medication that given to the patient to drink 4 hours before the operation.
And is this available in Malaysia? So we are using...
It's available in Malaysia with a special help, with a special microscope, with some special light with it.
Okay. That's to just give a clearer, more precise image.
And very often when they do the brain surgery, we are not using a naked eye to do the brain surgery. We're using a big microscope to magnify, to see, to make sure we excise the tumor clearly between the brain and the tumor interface. Now, during this, we can actually enhance our visualization by giving the medicine. All these technologies are available in Malaysia.
Okay. I'm speaking to Dr. Sia Xiao Fong, consultant neurosurgeon from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, about brain tumours. When we come back after the market update, I'll just go a little bit into, talking to patients and their families. A diagnosis of a brain tumour is very difficult to cope with. What do they need to expect? What are the kinds of steps in terms of recovery and rehabilitation after undergoing treatment? So we'll be right back with Dr. Sia. If you have any questions, you can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiaoik. In the studio with me, Dr. Sia Xiao Fong, consultant neurosurgeon from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara. We are discussing brain tumours. If you have any questions, you can quickly call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Sia, the diagnosis of a brain tumour would be very, very difficult for somebody to deal with. How do patients and families cope with news like that?
After the medical history taking plus the examination, so when it's supported by the medical imaging, when we try to break the news to a family member, okay, it's hard. It's very, very hard, okay? Sometimes I need not only one session, sometimes I need to conduct a couple of numerous sessions to sit down with a family member, immediate family member, as well as a relative, their loved one, to talk through the problems, okay, right? Yeah. What's the important thing is what the possible diagnosis, what are the possible outcome and chances of the likelihood they survive from the operation and what the possible treatment option. So yeah, we have to talk to them. It's a long haul process, but we are happy to actually guide through the patients. Of course, not forgetting, sometimes second opinion also is a form of reassurance as well. So when you listen to the first doctor, we are actually more than happy for you to allow to go for get a second opinion, third opinion, to see what they say. At least you have a neutral opinion about what other doctors say, to get all the information, then go back to a doctor again to choose a more neutral way of the treatment. Okay, right, yeah. Now, yeah, actually, it's very hard. Yeah, sometimes when they talk to the patient, not only the patient cry, and this also involves a family dynamics. Yeah, in terms of the support. Say, for example, if the patient is the sole breadwinner for the family, they hit and strike by the brain tumor. So how the family is going to cope for the next half a year or 1 year? Okay. All this actually we have to talk through. Yeah.
If the patient and their family decides that the risk of surgery may be just too high for them, mm-hmm. and they don't want to go with that route, how do you work with them to, you know, look for the next best option?
Okay, now, and we normally actually come up with a neutral view, okay, right, yeah? So when a neurosurgeon offer the treatment across, we normally actually will talk through about the risk benefit of having it done or risk benefit of not having it done, okay? Because all these surgical procedures or any form of treatment, they carry some risk, okay, yeah? So at the end, we just only have to table out, okay? Let the patient to choose themselves which are the best for them, okay? Yes, some patients do refuse our recommendation about surgical treatment, but at the end, of course, there's some alternative. Say, for example, if you don't do this, we just only make sure we take a little bit of biopsy, it will be less harmful, then followed by the adjuvant therapy, that's radiotherapy, neoadjuvant therapy, to see how the tumor responds. We do offer, if they refuse to go for surgical pathway, there's some other modality to go for.
Because the idea of surgery is...
Yeah.
It's hard to wrap your head around.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, not only the one single session, the patient need to open up themselves. After a couple of sessions, they slowly accept what you say and then and build trust, rapport between you and the doctor. Okay, right. So this also takes a lot of encouragement as well as time to sit down to talk to the patient. Mm. Sometimes we have to really empathy and sympathy with the patient as well.
What are some questions that patients should ask their doctors? Because when you get the news, it may be very difficult to think clearly. Mm. But what are the kinds of questions that would help patients make a better, more informed decision?
I would say so once they get presented with, say, from the growth and tumor, we do actually need to get the, we get our opinion first, okay, get across to the patient to see what they respond. As I mentioned to you, at the same time, okay, yeah, read widely, okay, how normally doctor actually will share all the information with the technology advances. I'm sure a lot of patients can just get something from the internet. Read widely and well informed and get second opinion. At the end, is the decision making not only involve a doctor, also need to get a lot of decision making also involve a patient and the family as well. So all this process actually take an enormous of time as well as encouragement, and to at the end, patient have to know what the risk involved when we recommend the treatment across.
Okay. And when it comes to the recovery process,
yeah,
after, say, whether it's surgery or radiosurgery, mm-hmm. or radiation, after the treatment modalities have
sure.
been completed,
yeah,
what should patients expect in terms of the recovery after that?
Sure, yeah. Now, as a principal, as a neurosurgeon, when they do a surgery on the brain, okay, we try not to injure the vital function of the brain, okay? If they does, Okay, that means they end up with a little bit of weakness, neurological deficit. We need to get a lot of ancillary stuff, support stuff, to help actually try to rebuild the patient again. Say, for example, physiotherapists, okay, OT, occupational therapists, to come in to work on them. Again, patient have to be motivated, okay? You must actually go along with the recommended treatment. The more motivated the patient, I can see the better outcome for the patient, okay? This will minimize... Another important part would be speech therapists. They come and train them how to speak back again, okay, yeah? And then as well as able to back to the original function, okay? This is what we're aiming for. Again, it's an MDT, multidisciplinary team approach, okay, in order to achieve the betterment for the patients.
It sounds a lot like how you would manage the recovery after a stroke, after treatment has been provided.
But of course, you need a lot of oncology opinion about it. So oncology have to come in, see when to, there's something that we must not be forgotten.
Yes, of course. Yeah. When it comes to the secondary brain tumours, which as you have reminded us, is the more common type of brain tumour. The one that is the result of a spread from cancer and other parts of the body. Mm-hmm. Is the aim of treatment also to prevent further spread to other parts of the brain?
Okay, as general, okay. Now, basically, the secondary brain tumor is quite common, especially in the terminal phase of the illness for the patients. Okay, right, yeah. Now, basically, the way we manage, basically trying to actually prolong the patient's survival, okay, make the brain tumor less impact onto the patient lifestyle. Okay, if you're able to, we just want to maintain his lifestyle in the good quality of the last few months. Okay, as I mentioned to you, when the cancer spread to the brain, okay, the survival tend not to be favorable compared to some other cancer that never spread.
Mm.
Okay, right, yeah. So as a neurosurgeon, we come in, we want to make sure that it still have a good, decent quality of life. Towards the last few months of her life, yeah. So don't make sure actually, they manage to sail through, go through. Of course, with some palliative care, a little bit of palliative care and oncology input. So I think the patient should be able to get the more neutral treatment.
Okay. Do you have a final message to help listeners put all this into perspective and, just to have a better understanding of brain tumours?
Right. Brain tumour overall is quite rare. Okay, right. I would say it's okay if you really have an unresolved headache, okay, after treatment it's not resolved headache, then you must actually warrant for further investigation. Okay, as I mentioned to you, about 6 criteria we set out by the Academy of the American Neurology. And of course, we need to talk through, okay? It's quite right, don't worry, okay? If it really, and I hope this will not happen.
Yes, of course. But if it does, there are methods to manage them.
Yes, there are methods
to
manage them.
Very modern advances in treatment
that
have improved, that can improve the outcome.
Yes, and of course, the patient's survivability.
Mm. Thank you very much, Dr. Xia. I've been speaking to Dr. Xia Xiaofeng, consultant neurosurgeon from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.